The gift of now. The gift of now. The gift of now. I'll get organized eventually. The gift of now. Wow. I got a message on my watch early this morning that asked me, it was an article, I guess, with the question of when is the right time to retire? And not now. That's all I can answer, is now is not the time for me to retire. And when we look at today's text in John chapter 17, we're just going to focus on verses 1 through 5. You think about time. Solomon writes that, you know, there's a time for everything. And he reminds us that that life can be tough. And I'm sure everyone here can agree that life is tough, that life can be challenging. Agreed? Life is unfair? Yes or no? See, look, everybody agrees that life is unfair. And I'm going to tell you, I have a saying, that's the only fair thing in life, the only fair thing in life is time. The only fair thing in life is time, because this is what we have. Now, our time table might be different, right, from one person to the next, but when our time is up, our time is up. And the question is, how long is that time going to last? Where will you spend the rest of eternity? That's an important question. And this morning, we're looking at this priestly prayer of Jesus in John chapter 17. And I don't want to really move off of that very much at all. So John 17, Jesus spoke these things, looked up to heaven, and he said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so that the Son may glorify you. For you gave him authority over all flesh, so he may give eternal life to all you have given him. This is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and the one you have sent, Jesus Christ. I have glorified you on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. Now, Father, glorify me in your presence with that glory I had with you before the world existed." Now, those five verses right there, that's enough to chew on for the rest of the year, okay? And what does it mean to bring glory to God? What does it mean to bring glory to God? What does it mean? And I think there's questions for us in this text. If we want to bring glory to God, we've got to continue the work. That's why it's not time for me to retire. Like, the gift is now. Our time is now. It's not yesterday, and it's not tomorrow. Because there's nothing we can do about yesterday, and we're no guarantee for tomorrow. The only gift we have is the present now. And what are we going to do with that? Are we going to glorify God? Jesus gives us a definition of being saved. This is eternal life, colon, that you know Jesus Christ. And then Jesus finishes up this section, and he's like, "Lord, give me the glory that I had before the world existed." Think about the depth of this. The glory of God himself came and dwelt with us with grace and truth. This is the glory of God in our presence. There's a saying, you see, we have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Yet, there's a saying called felix culpa. Felix culpa that merited such a great redeemer. Felix culpa is a Latin phrase for, oh, happy fault. Oh, happy fault. So even in the fault, there is joy because the great Redeemer, Jesus Christ, is coming. And the question is, do we know this Jesus Christ? Are we in our hearts singing of this Redeemer who's paid our pardon and set us free? The debt's all paid. The gift is now. So how do we glorify God? Well, Matthew writes the Sermon on the Mount, right? Where Jesus says that you are a city on a hill. You can't hide a city. And it's like a light. You put the light on a lampstand. But listen to this. Like, a lot of times I think we forget this. It says, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. The good works we do, this is where we mess up. I'm with you, okay? I don't know if you're with me right now, but I'm with you on this one because we want the glory, right? Don't we want the glory? Amen. We want the glory, right? But our light shining is not our light, first of all. It's the light of Christ that shines through us. And the light that's shining through us is not for our glory, but it's for the glory of the Father in heaven. And here we are in John chapter 17. Jesus is right on the precipice of being arrested, right? So last week, we're in John chapter 12. Jesus entered Jerusalem. This is the final time. John 13, they're in the upper room, and Jesus is on his knees washing his disciples' feet. Why? To show them that he has come to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. He's not come to be served, but to serve. The glory God that existed before the foundation of the world came down to us, and now is the time. Do we accept the gift of salvation that God Almighty offers us right now? You see, Paul writes in the 2 Corinthians, he said, look, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, he says, salvation is now. Now is the acceptable time. How many of us out there in the world, how many people, maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, it could be 5 years from now, stumble over this sermon and hear the words and wonder, is now the time for me to give my heart to Jesus, who gave us everything? When the crowds saw that Jesus had healed the paralytic, Jesus says, get up your mat, go, your sins are forgiven. The crowds were amazed, and they began to glorify God. When the crowds were amazed at all the people who were healed, those who were unable to speak began speaking. The crippled restored, the lame walking, the blind seeing. They gave glory to the God of Israel. And when the centurion who witnessed Christ crucified, and Jesus, he gives up his last breath, and he says, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." And the centurion says, he began glorifying God. He said, "Truly, this man was a righteous man." And he recognized that Jesus is a righteous man. Now, he may have not recognized that Jesus was from the beginning before the world existed. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. You know, last week, you know, it's interesting how you know, it'd be really nice if I could have like a crumb trail of my brain, okay? Like that would be really helpful for me to go back and look. Like, how did I get here? Well, I know how I got here right now. And it was preparing for the Sunday school lesson last week. And we're looking at Jeremiah. And it was redeemed. And I started thinking about the hymn Redeemed. And lo and behold, I opened up the hymn book, and there it is, the song Redeemed. And then on the other page, there's a song called Once for All. Jesus paid for us once for all on the cross. That was it. But there was a name on that hymn that you know, I was like, Robbie and I was like, that sounds familiar. And so I started doing a little research. And his name is Philip 1L Paul Bliss. And Philip Paul Bliss lived from July 9, 1838, and he died December the 29th of 1876. And he died in a tragic, tragic accident. Let me give you a little bit about this gentleman, Paul Bliss. You may have heard the hymn, "I Gave My Life for Thee." Now, he did the music for that. That's a Francis Hartwell hymn. Wonderful words of life, Paul Bliss. In this old hymnal, okay, which you will not find in our new hymnal, you've got "Let the Lower Lights Be Burning," "Hold the Fort," and "Almost Persuaded." In our hymnal, we have "Free from the Law, O Happy Condition," which actually is the title in here, "Once for All." "I Will Sing of My Redeemer" is the only hymn that Bliss did not write the tune for. And I'll tell you why in a moment. "Hallelujah, What a Savior," another one of his hymns. And it's like, now it's like all coming back. Like, I know those hymns. Those are wonderful words of life. And he served as a lieutenant in the Union Army. And he worked with D.L. Moody, very important person of his day, apparently had a wonderful baritone voice. But Paul Bliss wrote the tune to "It Is Well With My Soul." That might be his most famous work. And you see, it was 1876, actually the same year he died, that he wrote that, because he knew of a story. There was a man by the name Horatio Spafford who his family was going across Atlantic and collided with another vessel. And four of his kids drowned. And as he was going over to England to reunite with his wife, the captain called him and he says, "This is the spot. This is the spot." And lo and behold, that's when he wrote the words, "Like seas billow roll." Like, we know what that feels like. We know when the waves of life are just crashing against us. "But it is well with my soul." Like, how can you write that? Like that's not a lot of bliss to me. And so, not only did he write the tune to this song, "It is well with my soul," the only song he did not write the tune for was the one we sang earlier, "I will sing of my Redeemer." So, December 29 of 1876, he's on a train. It is called the Ashtabula River Railroad Disaster. You see, the Pacific Express of Lakeshore and Michigan Railway has a train called the Pacific Express that's taken off, and it only got 1,000 feet from the station, and it's crossing this river, and it's got two engines, and one train had just passed, and another train's coming over the Pacific Express, and all of a sudden, the conductor is like notices something's going on, and he guns it, right? And the actual first locomotive got across. The rest of the train ended up in the ravine. Of 160 passengers, 92 died. They found the words to "I Will Sing of My Redeemer" in the chest of Philip Paul Bliss. That was the end. Did he know that was going to happen right now in his life? Heck no. But here's the tragedy. Here's the tragedy. So they did an investigation. In fact, as of like not too long ago, 10 years ago, engineers are studying this tragedy. So they decided, like, you talk about cutting corners, the fatal consequences of cutting corners. That's this story. You see, the owner of the railway, not only was it denied that engineers was like, "No, we can't do that. We can't have a HealthTrust bridge expand that distance. It's not going to work." So the bridge, poor design. The bridge, poor construction. It wasn't built right. It wasn't designed right. It wasn't inspected. Nobody went and looked at the bridge. Not only that, the wooden cars were not supposed to be wooden, that they had already passed the law because wood catches on fire. And when you've got lamps and fire going around, guess what? You got a bigger fire. And then fifth, people didn't respond. The firefighters did not respond as they should have. So there's five things right there. And I think about this. The chasm between earth and eternity. You see, we do have a bridge, okay? We do have a bridge that has been A, properly built and designed. The question is, where do we need to go and look at parts of our bridges in our lives? We need to inspect. Is our work glorifying God? Are we giving glory to God? Are we trying to absorb all the glory? Life can be a train wreck, right? It really can be. But regardless of how hard it gets, we can sing of our Redeemer. I want to read the words to the hymn, Almost Persuaded. Almost Persuaded, Now to Believe. I'll be honest, this is kind of a sad song. Almost Persuaded, Christ to Receive. Seems now some soul to say, go Spirit, go thy way. Some more convenient day on thee I'll call. Almost persuaded, come today. Almost persuaded, turn not away. Jesus invites you here. Angels are lingering near. Prayers rise from hearts so dear. Oh, wanderer, come. Holy Spirit, the gift is now. Are we going to accept it? He's knocking on our hearts. Almost persuaded, harvest is past. Almost persuaded, doom comes at last. Almost cannot avail, almost is but to fail. Sad, sad, bitter wail. Almost, but lost. Almost, but lost. So the other day, I love a good bike ride. I mean, a good long bike ride. And so I decided, I did some research, and I said, I'm going to go to Costco. Okay. And I'm going to start at Costco because I'd seen this little bike trail. And I did some research. And I'm like, okay. So I'm going to go start my bike ride at Costco. And then when I get back, I'll do some shopping and I'll go home. That's a win-win for me, buddy. And so I got on the bike. I'm cruising along. And I go from Costco all the way through downtown Durham, and I knew I could hear the echoes of Terrence Mann in my head as I'm riding. I got to see the ballpark because I got a little disoriented, and you have to go right by the Durham Bulls Athletic Park, and you get on the tobacco trail from this other trail. And I came all the way by the church. I went all the way down to Fayette Road, turned around, came back, came up, went through the parking lot. May have seen me on camera, I don't know. Went up Ebon and went on back, and I'm cruising on back, and I go through downtown Durham, I'm on back, and the next thing I know, I'm like, I'm not really sure where I am. I ended up in Bragtown, okay? That's not near Costco necessarily, okay? You don't know Durham, all right? And I'm not panicking, but I am getting like frustrated, okay? And I'm like, I kind of want to get back at this point, and well, my fancy watch is going to help me, right? Well, Not exactly. While I'm only 1 mile away from the car, which should tell me exactly where the car is, right? It wouldn't give me the right route. And it kept like, oh my gosh. I finally got back, and all's good. Sometimes in life, we might be really, really close to our destination, and we're not there. And it's just like one preacher commented on Almost Persuaded. Almost Persuaded is like he who is almost saved. And if you're almost saved, you're entirely lost. Sandra, will you help me?